Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I do ask you that you would give us today that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord, that you would open our understanding and cause us to see, to know truth that the natural man cannot receive, but for the Spirit of God. And Father, I just pray that as we hear the word of the Lord this morning, that we will be changed. Lord, that there will be a fresh new desire and a hunger for the things of God. Lord, I ask you that you just accomplish in us what you desire to do today in Jesus' name. Amen. Still growing. Are you still growing? You know, as a believer, we should always be growing. Webster's defines growing as to spring up and develop to maturity. You know, if we're growing spiritually, we're alive. But if we have stopped growing, then we are either dying or dead already. We are to always be growing. The Bible tells us that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him. 2 Peter 3:18. To grow in the knowledge of Him is not that we just study about God, that we study theology, that we even just learn the Scripture. But to grow in the knowledge of Him is to grow in an experiential knowledge of Him. It is to know Him more in a personal way. And I tell you, we need to be growing always in our relationship with Jesus. We need to be growing in Christ-likeness, in Christian character. A Christian should always be growing. We should be growing in our faith. You know, we begin with that saving faith, just a simple understanding that Jesus died on the cross for us. We hear that word and faith comes in our heart and we believe. But church, a lot of people stop right there. We need to be growing in our faith. As we hear the word, listen, this book is full of promises. And our faith ought to be always growing. As we hear the word, it ought to increase our faith every time. Amen. We ought to be growing in maturity. Physically, most of us grow for about 18 or 20 years, at least upwardly. After that, we grow outwardly. Amen. But it's a natural thing that you grow for a period of time and then you stop. That's normal in our physical growth. But in our spiritual growth, we never reach a place where we're done. We're never to get to the place where we just say, well, you know, I grew for a while, but now, you know, I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back. There's no such plateau in the spiritual growth of a believer. We are to be always growing. None of us has arrived yet. Hopefully you've left, but we haven't arrived. Most believers, it seems like they've left, they're on their way, but somewhere along the way, they sit down. Somewhere along the way, they just kind of take a break from it all. Somewhere along the way, they begin to be satisfied and just kind of settle in. We're to be still growing. A lot of people become distracted along the way. Maybe even take a detour from their spiritual growth, from growing in the Lord and their relationship with Jesus and involvement in ministry. They just kind of take a detour and step back. Sometimes people are hurt, disappointed, disillusioned. And you know, they can become cynical and hard-hearted. Sometimes people get caught up in life, just too busy with their job, doing their own thing. Sometimes it's a sin or just bad choices that they made that led them away from the Lord. Instead of growing in the Lord, they're getting further and further away from the Lord. Seems like a lot of people take a break from ministry, take a break from church even, take a break from their regular devotional life and time with the Lord. They stop growing. No, you can't always see spiritual growth on the outside, but you can see the fruit of it. Listen, if we're growing spiritually, there's going to be an increase of fruit in our life. If we're growing spiritually, people are going to see in us the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Amen. All of those fruit of the Spirit, people are going to see the evidence of that spiritual growth in our life. I think it's important to say that because sometimes believers deceive themselves that they're growing, even though they either have plateaued or are actually going backwards. But, you know, if they're still in church, at least they'll say, well, I'm growing in the Lord. None of us want to admit, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm just kind of stuck. Maybe I haven't grown in years. So we need to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, are we really growing? And I tell you, if there is a hunger and desire for that, you're at the beginning place of beginning to grow again. Listen, this message is a wake-up call for some. Wake up, O sleeper. See, some people aren't growing. They are just asleep in the body of Christ. You need to wake up. God's got more for you. He wants you to rise up. He wants you to grow up in Him. For some, it's a challenge just to get you back in the race, to call you off the bench and back in the game. Come on. You're supposed to be growing in the Lord, rising to new heights in Him. For some, this is just a word of encouragement. Keep going, keep going. And for some, I'm just cheering you on. You're doing great. But listen, we need to remember, spiritual growth doesn't happen automatically with age. Just because you are at a certain chronological age in life doesn't mean that you are spiritually mature. Listen, I've met children and teenagers that were more mature than most adults. Spiritually. Not otherwise. Spiritually. And just because you've been in church or been born again for many, many years doesn't mean that you have grown up spiritually. Listen, it's not automatic. There are some things that need to happen in your heart and life for you to continue to grow on a day-by-day basis. It's not an automatic thing. In his book, The Life You've Always Wanted, John Ortberg tells about a man in a church that he once pastored whom he called Denny. Denny was not a happy man. He attended church his whole life, but he had never been happy. The expression on his face was so perpetually negative that one of the deacons one day asked him, he said, Denny, are you happy? And he said, yeah. And he said, well, tell your face. We need that sometimes. Now, one of the many things that Denny didn't approve of was the contemporary music in the church. He complained about it all the time, that it was too loud. But no one realized how far he would go until one day a man showed up at the church office with a badge and he announced that he was from OSHA. They had had a complaint that someone had made about the decibel level of the worship services. Watch out now, I don't want OSHA showing up here, all right? Of course, it was Denny that had made the complaint. And the staff just laughed about it, and as it turned out, of course, the agent just joined in with them and laughed about it. But really and truly, Denny's attitude was not a laughing matter because, now here's the observation that John Ortberg made about Denny. He said, Denny is not changing. He is a cranky guy. He's been cranky his whole life. Not just about church. He does not effectively know how to love his wife. His children cannot tolerate him, and he has no joy. He's been going to church his whole life, 60 years. And nobody in church is surprised that he stays cranky year after year. It's as if we expect a bad attitude. That's just Denny. Nobody's expecting him to be more like Jesus year after year. That's what we're supposed to be. More like Jesus year after year. Now here's a guy who's been in church for 60 years, but he's not getting more like Jesus. He's just cranky all the time. Maybe you haven't been in church 60 years. What have you been in church 6 years? Are you becoming more like Jesus? Now the sad truth is, it seems like that sometimes as we age, listen, if we don't grow closer to Jesus and more like Jesus, we do just get grumpier. We have some of the sweetest older saints of God in this church. And I remember the last church where I pastored, I had a large group of senior saints over their 80s, and they were some of the sweetest Christians I've ever known in my life. But that's not always the case. It seems like that some people, listen, if they're not getting closer to Jesus as they age, they just get grumpier and grumpier. That's why they make those movies, Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men. It's funny because there's too much truth in it. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be a grumpy old man. I want to be like Jesus. You know what? We need to decide. I want to grow in the Lord that day after day after day. I don't want to be grumpy like Denny, not happy, cranky all the time. Don't have victory in my life. No, I want to be more and more like Jesus day by day. But we got to grow in Him. We should always be growing. Never satisfied. Listen to me now. Most believers have this backwards. They are not content, but they're satisfied. They're not content with their circumstances, with their situation. They're upset about everything. See, Paul said that we should learn to be content in whatever state we are in. What that means is that we should still be happy. We should have joy. Listen, happy are the people who are in this situation. Their God is the Lord. Amen. We should be happy just because we're serving God and we know Jesus. But as a Christian, no matter what our situation or circumstance, we ought to be able to say, I've learned to be content. I've still got joy. I've still got peace in my life. I've still got the victory. No matter what the situation, no matter how things look right now, I've still got victory in my life. You see, that's what he's talking about when he says, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. Instead, a lot of Christians are just cranky and upset. They're anxious, they're mad all the time. There's something that's not right. They're bothered about this and bothered about that. See Denny, right? No, we got to learn to be content in our relationship with God as far as trusting Him, resting in Him, relying upon Him. But we should never be satisfied to just stay where we are spiritually. In the same book that the Apostle Paul writes, I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. He also writes, I want to know Him. He says, I want to know Jesus more intimately, more personally. After decades of ministry, there is still this passion. He's not satisfied. He says, I want to know Him. And he says, I press toward the mark. You see, he still had something on the inside that he wasn't satisfied spiritually. He wanted to keep going. He wanted all that God had for him. Let me say it one more time. We should be content, but never satisfied. Most people have it backwards. They're not content, they're discontent. And yet they're satisfied in their spiritual walk. No, we need to be hungry, pressing on for more, for all that God has for us. You know, we need to keep that for as long as we live, that we're going to keep pressing on, reaching out for all God has for us. Never satisfied. Not satisfied with what we've accomplished. Not satisfied with the ministry and our fruitfulness. But the Bible says that even in our old age, we'll still be fruitful. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to work our way down through this passage, beginning with verse 11. We'll work our way down through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It was He, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, one translation says that it's for the perfection of the saints, to perfect the saints, but it's not talking about that the saints are going to come flawless. We're not going to get there. No, that word in Old English was used speaking of maturity, completeness. And here the NIV translates it as being prepared. Prepared for works of ministry. You see, as we grow up in the Lord, we get involved in ministry. We're used of Him in a greater way. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. We got to grow up. We got to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's when we all come in unity unto a mature, complete man. Listen, he's not referring to, again, it's not a state of perfection, but it is a state of maturity. And he says, unto the fullness of Christ. You see, we're supposed to be becoming more Christ-like all the time. I want to encourage you. Jesus is our standard. You know, the attitude in our society today, we're all about comparing. And you can always find somebody to compare yourself to that, well, I'm more spiritual than they are. But Jesus is the standard. We haven't arrived yet. We're supposed to be growing, maturing in our faith and in our walk with the Lord. And I tell you, our goals as individuals and as a church ought to be more like Jesus, to be Jesus to this world. Verse 14, he says, then we will no longer be infants. Then we'll no longer be babies. Then we will have finally grown up. He says, no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Listen, we're to be childlike in our faith and trust in God, in our humility. You know, Jesus says, unless you become like the little child, that you'll in no way enter the kingdom of heaven. But we are not to be easily swayed and influenced and gullible like a small child. We're not to be tossed back and forth with every circumstance or with every doctrine that comes by. We need to be aware. We need to be wise and realize that there is a lot of teaching and preaching that goes on that's not sound doctrine. In fact, it's kind of become the theme of the day for preachers and teachers to take the Word of God and adapt it to fit the philosophy of the day. Now watch this. One of my favorite preachers. I heard a few years back on Mother's Day. He says, now God is both male and female. Listen, that might be politically correct to say, but it's not in the Bible. He is Father. And the only time that there's ever a reference to him as a mother is he's talking about how that a mother takes care of her young, that the father takes care of us that way. But he is not male and female. But you see, preachers and teachers, and I'm just giving you one example. We could talk about 1,000 of them, all right? But listen, we need to be wise. We need to be careful that we don't just fall along with every strange doctrine that comes down the path. And any time that we're taking the philosophy and the psychology of this generation and making the Bible fit it, red flags ought to go up. Listen, this is the source of truth. We want to know truth. We want to grow spiritually. We need to go to the Word of God. We need to be teachable, receive with meekness the engrafted word. But I tell you, as mature believers, we need to hold fast to sound doctrine. Verse 15, he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. We will in all things grow up. We will in all things grow up. We're going to grow up into him, Jesus. That is our goal, is to grow up and be like Jesus as individuals and as a body. But he said this, he said, we need to speak the truth in love. Listen, it needs to be spoken in love, but we need the truth. Truth is what sets people free. We don't just need a little watered down version of the gospel. We need the truth. We don't need somebody to just make us feel comfortable and tell us what we want to hear. We need the truth. Amen. Listen, we never grow up as long as we stick with pablum. We need the truth. We need the Word of God. It will mature us and grow us up. Too many preachers are spoon-feeding spiritual toddlers. Here it comes. Open up. Open up. They got one verse of scripture and 15 illustrations and 4 jokes and some little anecdotes. And here it comes. Here's your food for the day. Now you feel better about yourself. Don't you gonna make it through this week? Praise the Lord. We need the truth of the Word of God if we're gonna grow up. It has to be spoken in love, but we don't need to be fed like toddlers. Listen, it's worse than that sometimes. I mean, when you gotta park the beard to get the bottle in, something's wrong. It's time to grow up. Verse 16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, see, throughout this passage, there are principles for our spiritual growth, but it also results in numerical growth. So how do we grow spiritually? How do we, as individuals, how can I grow? What do I need to do? Well, first of all, there has to be a desire. We already talked about this, how that the Apostle Paul said, I want to know him. You see, there was a desire. And you know, you might be sitting there saying, well, what if I don't have that desire? Well, stir it up. Make your mind up that you're not going to be lethargic and sit back and just watch the world pass you by and watch the things of God pass you by, but instead, you're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness and reach out for the things of God. First Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes, crave spiritual milk. In the King James, it says, desire the sincere milk of the Word. See, you got to desire it. You got to want it. If we're satisfied, we're going to find ourselves backslidden. When we say, we have need of nothing. Anybody know where I'm pulling that King James quote from? When we say we have need of nothing, that's what the Lord said about the lukewarm church in Revelation chapter 3. He said to them, you say you have need of nothing. You see, when we get to the place spiritually where we're saying spiritually we have need of nothing, then we have become lukewarm. And we need to repent and be zealous. We need to decide that we're going to be on fire for God, that we're not going to allow ourselves to be lukewarm and say, oh, I don't need to grow. I don't need anything. We got to stir up that desire and that passion for the things of God. If you're going to grow, I'm telling you, you're going to have a desire. You're going to have a passion and a zeal for the things of God. Second, we grow from the Word of the Lord. I just gave you this verse, but 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word of the Lord. It'll grow you up. It'll get you started. Now, if you're a baby in Christ, that's what you need. You need that milk of the Word of God. But as we grow in the Lord, we need to be learning. We need to be growing. We need to begin to eat spiritual meat. But it's the Word of God that will help you grow in the Lord. I want to remind you this morning, spiritual ignorance is not bliss. It's blindness and bondage. The truth of the Word of God will set you free. Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, that's not knowledge just for the sake of knowledge, but a knowledge of the Word of God so that we know how to live the life that God has called us to. Listen, we need the Word of God. If you're going to grow in the Lord, it is the Word of God that will reveal truth to you and help you to grow in Him. Third, we have to spend time with Him in His presence. Whether it is in your personal private prayer time with the Lord or in a time of corporate worship at church on Sunday morning, when you encounter the presence of God, it will change you. It will grow you. I just want to clarify this now. Some people pray just out of ritual and they don't encounter the presence of God. And certainly every Sunday morning there are people that come and enter into the presence of God here in the worship time, and there are also people that don't. What I'm telling you is just because you had a prayer time doesn't mean you got in the presence of Jesus. If it was just a ritual and going through the motions, it won't do it. Same with worship. But if you enter into the presence of the Lord and you have an encounter with the Lord, I tell you, it will transform you. It'll change you. And the more that you are with Jesus, the more you're going to become like Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." See, that's what we want. We want to grow up into Him. We want to be transformed into His likeness. And how does that happen? It is by we're transformed from glory to glory as we're in the presence of God. I like the way the NIV says that. With ever-increasing glory, we are transformed into His likeness. So don't be content where you are spiritually, but seek to grow in Him through the Word and in prayer and in the presence of God. Fourth, we have to be teachable. Hebrews 5, 11 and 12. Listen to this. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are so slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's Word all over again. You know, it's so important that we are teachable, that we are learning and growing. Listen, you can't grow if you're not learning. If you're going to grow spiritually, you have to be teachable. You have to learn. And what the writer of the Hebrews is saying here is he's saying, we should be teaching you more mature things. Instead, somebody needs to go back and teach you all the elementary stuff all over again. And I have to tell you, if you read the book of Hebrews and some of the things that he's talking to them about, even in this very passage, most of us would have a pretty tough time understanding a lot of it. And he's saying these are elementary things. Church, we need to be teachable. We need to be learning. We need to be growing. We need to take every opportunity that we get, whether it's on Sunday morning, Wednesday night in a growth group, not to mention in our own Bible study time, but we need to be teachable. In the course of a conversation at a dinner party, a young lady asked Albert Einstein, "What are you actually by profession?" He said, "I devote myself to the study of physics." She was astonished. She just looked at him. She thought that was the strangest thing. She said, "You mean to say at your age you study physics? I finished mine a year ago." That's exactly where most believers live. They know this much and they think they've got it. I tell you, as you grow in the Lord, are you really growing? The more you know, the more you realize there's a lot you don't know. And the Bible says, let him that thinks he knows anything, listen, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. I got two crossed up there together, didn't I? If he thinks he knows anything, let him take heed lest he fall. But the Bible also says that if we think we know something, we don't know anything yet. And I tell you, we need to be teachable. We need to be hungry to learn and continue to grow. And it says the Holy Spirit teaches us, whether it is through the Word. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. Experience is a bad teacher. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that have learned the wrong things from experience. Now, you can learn something good through your experiences with the help of the Holy Spirit, but there are a lot of people that learn the wrong things from experience. You can see them on Oprah every week, all right? Every one of those shows. What do you got on there? A bunch of people that learn the wrong things from their experiences. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the best teacher, and He will teach you through the Word. He will teach you through your prayer time. And as you get alone with the Lord, He will teach you. He will also teach you through other people. He uses people. And so we need to be teachable and humble and receive with meekness the engrafted Word. Amen. You know, sometimes knowing what we need to change is the key. Where we need to grow, if we just see where it is we need to grow, what it is we need to do different, if we just, you see, it's when we get that understanding of what we need to change. That was the key to our next step, going to the next level and growing in the Lord. And that comes by revelation from the Holy Spirit. But you got to be teachable. See, if you think that you've got it all, you know, you say, well, that's not what I was taught. That's not the way I was brought up. That's not the way my church preached it and taught it. And you can't learn anything new, then you're stuck. You're not going to grow. You got to be willing to learn and to grow. Now, you know, I said earlier that we shouldn't believe just everything that we hear. Just every wind of doctrine. No, we need to be wise and we need to stick with sound doctrine from the Word of God. But we also need to be teachable and be learning. If you're not learning, you're not growing. Fifth, we grow from being around the right people. Now, I'm just putting that in very simple terms, but we grow from others. It is body ministry. As we love one another, bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, we grow not only as we receive of those things, but as we are giving those things. We grow. You know, you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and it says, as each part does its work, the whole body is growing. We are growing up into the fullness of Jesus Christ. How's that happen? As each part does its work. You see, we learn and we grow from one another. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. You see, it is in our relationships with one another that we learn from each other. And, you know, iron sharpens iron. Sometimes there might even be friction or conflict. But we learn from one another. And as we learn from one another, we can grow spiritually. I learned a long time ago, there are people that know things I don't know. And I can learn from them. And you know what? We make a grave error when we judge people and think that they don't have anything to offer, that they're not as spiritual as me. Because I'm telling you, God can use anybody to speak into your life. He can use a donkey if He wants to. But we need to understand it. We got to be open and be teachable, and we got to realize that with the right relationships, with the right people, it will help us grow. Jesus had 12 disciples. Now, He had many others that were called disciples, but He had 12 that He poured Himself into. He had a small group, all right? And that small group, they went out and they made disciples, and they turned the world upside down. And everybody ever since has been a disciple of somebody. Listen, you didn't get it all on your own, just you and Jesus. Somebody spoke into your life. Somebody modeled it for you. Somebody was an example to you. Somebody helped you along the way. Somebody preached. Somebody taught. I tell you, God uses people. And so we need to realize that in our relationships with others, there's the opportunity for us to really grow in the right relationships with other people. I tell you, that's one of the wonderful things about our growth groups. It gives you the opportunity to get together with other believers and experience growth in your life in a personal way, in discipleship. Sixth, we grow through persevering through trials. Oh, I knew y'all were going to get excited about that one. But I want you to notice I was very careful about how I worded that. We grow through persevering through trials. Because, listen, there are a lot of people that go through tests and trials and just, to put it bluntly, they don't make it. They go through a hard time in life and they shipwreck their faith. They get out of church. Strange thing to me, I'll never understand that. When you're going through a hard time in your life, that the last thing you need to do is to get out of church. So many people, when they're going through a difficult time, as I said, they don't necessarily learn the right things, and they get out of church and shipwreck their faith, not even really serving God anymore. But the person who perseveres through tests and trials, there is going to come a growth and a maturity in their life. Now, I want you to understand exactly what I'm saying. There are people that go to an extreme and say, well, I'm going through this terrible thing. God did this to me so I would grow. No, He did not. The Bible doesn't say God did this to you so you would grow. What it does say, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, is that you should consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Now, I've always had a hard time with that joy part. It's just hard for me to be really joyful about trials that I'm dealing with. Anybody got any trials? Listen, when you're really going through it, you don't feel like having joy, you feel like crying. You know what I'm saying? When you're really in the midst of a fiery trial, it's hard for that joy to come on you. But this is what He says. Count it joy. Mark it down as joy. Count it joy because you know something. And what is it you know? You know that this trial is going to bring about perseverance in you. And that perseverance is going to finish its work, that you will be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, when you persevere through that trial, that trying of your faith, you're going to come out the other side more mature, more complete, more ready for whatever God has for you to do. There is a maturing that happens when we persevere through the trial. Well, I just want to read it to you one more time because I tell you, I know that there's a lot of error in either side of the ditch on this subject, but listen to the Word of God. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So when you're going through a test, a trial, you're going through it, you need to count it joy, because as you persevere, you're going to come out more mature, more complete in Him, not lacking anything. You're going to be ready for whatever comes your way. Seventh, we grow when we use what we have. Jesus taught this in the parable of the talents. Now, a talent in that old English language was a large sum of money. But Jesus wasn't just talking about money. In fact, much more important things than money. He was talking about true riches. Now, it may apply to money. I believe it does. I believe it applies to every part of your life, every area of your life. But first and foremost, it applies to spiritual things, to spiritual riches, true riches. And you need to understand that if you're born again, man, you've got some true riches. Every one of us has been blessed. Every one of us has something that God has entrusted to us, spiritual riches in Christ Jesus that money can't even buy. And He will hold us accountable for what we do with what we have. And you know, in the parable of the talents, there was one who was entrusted with five. There was one who was entrusted with two. And there was one that was just given one. The one that had five, he used what he had and he doubled it. And when the Lord came home, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and he rewarded him. The one that just had two, he also used what he had and he doubled it. And so the Lord rewarded him and said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the one who only had one, he hid it in the ground. He didn't lose it. He just maintained what he had. And right there is where a lot of believers are living. They're not growing. They're just maintaining what they have. I didn't lose it, Lord. But you know what the Lord did? He said, you wicked, lazy servant. Why? Because he didn't use what he had. He just hid it in the ground. You're supposed to use what you have, because when you do, it will grow, it will increase. And you say, well, I don't have much to offer. Use what you have. I'm just a one talent guy. Well, use what you have. Every one of us has something to offer. You might say, well, I'm not a very spiritual person. Well, you start right where you are. You start using what you have. Are you spiritual enough to show up to church next Sunday? Come on now. Just start using what you have. Just start from where you are. See, every one of us has been given gifts and abilities that can be used in our life, in the lives of others, in ministry. Every one of us has something to offer the body of Christ. Again, back to Ephesians chapter 4, as each part does its work, every one of us has something to offer. And you might say, well, I don't have much to offer. Well, you've got something. Use what you have. And as you use what you have, Jesus said, the one that's faithful in little will be given much. But what did he say to the wicked, lazy servant who hid his one talent? He said, even what he has is going to be taken away. He says, take his and give it to the one that has 10. Now, that might not be the way we would do it. But that's what Jesus said is the way it works in the kingdom. If you don't use what you have, even you'll lose even what you do have. Use what you have. It'll grow. God will bless you. But you got to use what you have. I encourage you, wherever you are in your walk with the Lord and your relationship with Jesus, wherever you are in ministry and being used of God, just begin to use what you have. You might say, well, it's not much. Just use it. And I tell you, God will bless it. You will grow. You will see increase in your life. You will grow in the Lord. You'll grow in your relationship with Jesus. You'll grow in ministry and being a blessing to other people. But you got to use what you have. Now, I want to encourage you, listen now, we should never be satisfied, but always be content. Those that are growing always have a desire to see others grow as well. And I just want to encourage you in that. You know, if you're really growing in the Lord, then you're going to be more concerned about other people growing. Listen, mature people, mature believers are more concerned about others being born again, others being discipled, than whether or not they got blessed this morning at church. We're pretty quiet in here right now. It's more important that somebody got born again than whether or not I got some Holy Ghost doodads. It's real quiet in here. I'm going to keep preaching it, though. I tell you, when we grow up in faith, we are more concerned about the lost and the hurting and the downtrodden, those that spiritually are bound up, than whether I got another blessing this morning. Amen. When we grow up, when we are spiritually mature, we care about whether or not others are being discipled. And I just want to encourage you, church, that we need to be growing up. We need to be rising up as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, when we do that, we're going to care about whether or not others are growing. Amen. But we need to grow. Listen, so ask yourself, where do I need to grow? In what way do I need to grow? Those are the same questions as this. What needs to change in my life? So let me tell you something. All change is not growth, but all growth is change. You can't have growth without any change in your life. Whether you're talking about a plant or a little baby, whatever you're talking about, if there's going to be growth, it's going to change. And the same is true in our lives spiritually. If we're going to really grow in the Lord, there has to be some change. And so I want to challenge you this morning. What needs to change? In fact, what change can you make in your life that will help you grow? See, because I think that sometimes people would say, well, you know, I'd like to grow in the Lord, but I don't know if I don't want to go to church every Sunday. I'd like to grow in the Lord, but you know, that Wednesday night business. Now, come on, Pastor, you know, I'm busy. That I want to grow in the Lord, but really, I don't know if I have time for a growth group. I need to grow in the Lord, but you know, I got certain shows I need to watch. And
good preaching, brother.
Thank you, sister. Let me tell you, if we want to grow in the Lord, there are some decisions, there's choices that have to be made. And I already taught you, I listed out 7 things that need to happen in your life if you want to really grow in the Lord. But we need to make those choices. We need to choose to grow. That's why it's got to start with a desire. Because let me tell you, if you don't really want it, you're not going to make the right choices and you're not going to grow in the Lord. Listen, some things will take you away from God. Some activities and hobbies and involvements will have a negative impact on your relationship with God and your spiritual life. Some people will have a negative impact on your spirituality and take you further away from God if you allow them to. Some things will help you in your walk with God and will help you grow in your faith, in your relationship with Jesus and in ministry. I'm going to say it again. Those growth groups will help you. In fact, if you notice on the sidewall there, what those growth groups are about, church growth. It is about evangelism, personal growth. It will help you be discipled in the Lord, that you personally will grow in your faith as you learn and are taught. Relational growth. As I said, we grow as iron sharpens iron, and we have interaction, relationship with other believers, other members of the body. It brings about growth in our life. And ministry growth. Growth groups provide a great opportunity for you to be involved more in ministry and use your gifts and grow. And you might say again, well, I don't have much to offer, but you use what you have and God will bless it. And I tell you, there are things you can be involved in and people that you can get involved with that will help you grow spiritually. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm just going to say a couple of little silly things, all right? Silly. You will grow more reading your Bible than watching TV. You will grow more coming to church and entering into worship, being with God's people, than you will sitting home and watching a pre-recorded, edited service on your flat screen. I don't care how big it is. It's not the same. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it's not the same. Now, if that's all you can do because you're flat on your back and you called for the elders of the church and they prayed over you and the Lord didn't raise you up yet, then all right. But I'm telling you, you'll grow more if you're in the house of the Lord and you're dedicated and committed than you will sitting home. You see, there are simple decisions that we have to make if we want to grow in the Lord. Yes. I'm going to do this activity instead of this one. Why? Because I want to grow in the Lord. I'm going to hang out with this person because I want to grow in the Lord. They got something I don't have. Now, Jesus was the guest of sinners, and all of us need to minister to other people. But let me tell you something. You need to hang out. You need to spend quality time with spiritual people. Young people, y'all listening to me? Spiritual people that are going to help you grow closer to the Lord. It is never God's will for you to take a step further away from Him. And if you hang out with the wrong people, I'm talking to them, I'm talking to all of us, right? You hang out with the wrong people, influenced by the wrong people, it's going to take you further away from God. I'm working on it. I'm ready for a growth spurt. How about you?
Amen.
So I ask you one last time, how are you going to pursue growth in your relationship with the Lord, in Christ-likeness, in spiritual maturity, and in ministry? Make some changes. Decide how you're going to pursue that. And I encourage you, I challenge you. As you look back, see, we can all look back sometimes in our life with regret and say, you know, I don't know how far I've come. But just make your mind up that when you look back on August 30th, 2009, that you can say, you know what, I've really grown since then. A month from now, that you can say, hey, I'm growing. A year from now, you can say, wow, man, I've really grown. It won't happen by accident. It's going to happen because you wanted it, because you really desired that in your life. It's you. You say, I want to know Him. And I want to really grow in the Lord. I want to be used of God. I tell you, if you really want it, it'll happen.